You're going to love my next guest. Amanda DeSanti stopped by. She is a former law enforcement officer, had a great career. She left law enforcement, and now she continues to give back to the profession by helping first responders beat the burnout with her thriving business, Lifesaver Wellness. You do not want to miss this episode. Amanda DeSanti, next on the Criminal Justice Evolution podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Patrick here, host and creator of the top-ranked CJ Evolution podcast. Top-ranked because of you, the listener and supporter. Thank you so much. If you would take a moment and rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, give us that five-star rating and review. We sure would appreciate it. If you're a new listener, welcome. We know you're going to love the show and the content. Long-time listener, welcome back. Big shout out to all the brave men and women working in the criminal justice field, whatever you are doing, wherever you are at. In these difficult times, remember this: you are honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. Keep up the fantastic work.
Come on, you watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you. With the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Oh, good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000. If you owe the IRS $5,000 or more in back taxes, call now for a free consultation.
800-701-5875. 800-701-5875. 800-701-5875. That's 800-701-5875.
Such an honor to be partnered with Detectachem. This amazing and innovative company is helping you, the first responder, remain safer. And they're offering mobile threat detection that fits in the palm of your hands, detecting illicit drugs, explosives, now COVID-19. This application-based technology is a must-have for your organization. Head over to cjevolution.com, see the link to Detectachem, and see how they can help keep your troops safer. On to this great and informative show, Amanda DeSanti. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Very excited to have my next guest on the show, Amanda DeSanti, a.k.a. AKD. Is that right, Amanda?
That is right, Pat.
I had a pause there. Hey, welcome. Welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on. You're a former law enforcement officer, and you're doing great things for our first responders. For those people who don't know Amanda, AKD, tell us who you are, Amanda.
Well, thank you. First of all, let me thank you for having me on. I'm honored.
Of course.
I love what you're doing. I appreciate, you know, what you're doing for first responders and highlighting these kinds of issues. But yeah, so I was a deputy sheriff for quite a few years and didn't know, you know, when I entered the job that I already had some PTSD and depression issues. And so I went through, had a nice career while it lasted, and ended up being named Officer of the Year, and really felt like I impacted a lot of people. I did, you know, everything I could to do good for the world. And internally, I was breaking down. And so I got out of law enforcement and I became a criminal court victim advocate, went back and got my master's. And in that meantime, you know, as we do when we have trauma, we like to avoid it. And so I piled on all kinds of things, everything I could to kind of avoid dealing with my actual issues. And part of one of those things was diving back into yoga. And that was kind of a pivotal moment for me, figuring out how to kind of work with my trauma and work through it. So with that, then I decided to leave my job as a victim advocate and take my experience as a law enforcement officer and my experience with yoga and meditation and then everything I learned in my master's degree, which is in criminology and victimology, and create Lifesaver Wellness and pay forward back to first responders and teach them how to do the same.
Yeah. And that's great. And I want to talk about that in a minute, but going back to your, and thank you for your service, going back to your, when you started, I mean, you know, Amanda and the listeners know, we all go through a lot of psychological tests. Did they catch any of this stuff that you were suffering when you were going through your testing process or what?
You know, so it's interesting. I think that a lot of agencies, you know, obviously they do the polygraph, they do the background checks. Mm-hmm. Our agency did not do a psych eval.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I had worked previously, did some undercover stuff with online investigations, you know, like the Chris Hansen stuff. And I just started that when I was 19 years old. And then I went on to the sheriff's office and they didn't do any kind of psych eval. And I would hope that they have changed that since, but I think it probably would have been picked up, mm-hmm. you know, had I had that. And I don't know how many agencies do or don't have that, to be honest with you. I think that that's imperative, but it did surprise me that that wasn't a prerequisite.
Yeah, it's pretty standard, at least in my neck of the woods. I mean, that
sure.
You know, maybe if even if you're in, well, let me say, maybe if you're currently an employee, you don't have to do certain things, you know, maybe that's what it was. You did some work with them, but yeah, that's pretty standard. It's a liability issue as long as, you know, as well as other testing, as you probably know.
Absolutely. Now
was there any, I know you said you got burned out, you know, with mm-hmm. law enforcement, a lot of people do. I did at points in my career, definitely towards the end, I was burned out. Was there anything in particular that really you that happened or was a catalyst where you said, look, I just need to, and you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, but was there anything in particular that you said, well, you know, this is it, I'm done? Because you're not alone. I mean, a lot of people have the same story.
Oh yeah. So, I mean, some of it was just the typical, you know, not being able to trust anybody, kind of having, you know, despite the fact that I got Officer of the Year, and I just had this immense sense of failure. Like I just wasn't good enough. I was sick all the time. I was constantly coming down with, you know, strep throat and stomach issues and all these things. But when it really hit me, and I guess I probably shouldn't laugh about it, but I kind of giggle about it now because, you know, I'd fallen into this depression and I would go, I worked 4 to midnight. So I would go into work every night, 4 PM, come home. And I lived by myself. And while I was at work, I was very squared away, or at least so I thought. Mm-hmm. And I came home and my house was just disheveled. And I wasn't doing the dishes. I wasn't cleaning the house. And what really hit me was the one moment where I hadn't done the dishes and I had to eat cereal out of a gravy boat. And, you know, like I said, I giggle about it now, but I sitting there, I was like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. What is this? I go out and try to tell people, you know, I try to motivate people and do conflict resolution and all of that stuff. And at home behind closed doors, I'm a mess. And that was really kind of a pivotal moment for me.
Yeah.
As odd as it is.
No, it's not odd. I mean, it's, you know, and everybody has their different story. And like I said, you, as you know, Amanda, I mean, it's, you're not alone in that regard where people have different moments, different things that, it just comes to a head, you know, and you're like, I can't do it anymore. I mean, I did it for 23 years. And, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, ups and downs. Now,
completely.
Yeah. Now, were you diagnosed with PTSD and depression?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Now let's pivot a little bit. And again, mm-hmm. thank you for your service. And we're going to dive back into the great things you're doing for first responders. But I always ask law enforcement and, you know, even military that come on the show, I always ask, you know, what made you want to serve? I mean, what was the catalyst? Why did you want to become a law enforcement officer?
So I would say that's probably a twofold question. You know, at the time I would say, like many, it just was a calling. Mm-hmm. It was just something I felt that I needed to do. I just had this sense of duty to, you know, see justice be carried out. And But as I reflect back now, it was so much deeper than that. When I was 17, I actually lost my best friend since I was 4 years old to suicide. Oh, wow. And looking back, she was always the brave one out of the two of us. And when she passed, I wanted to make sure that I lived my life to the fullest because she couldn't. And so she really taught me how to be brave. And I think in that she then, you know, I couldn't save her. And so I just felt this immense need to save other people. Mm-hmm. And so it's on its face, you know, I just felt a calling, but it really was born out of this tremendous loss that I had.
Mm-hmm. Jeez, I'm sorry to hear that. And how long did you serve, Amanda?
So I did a couple of years, covert stuff online, like I said, and then I had probably 6 or 7 years full-time. I tried to stay on as auxiliary for a couple mm-hmm. of years after. And I really had a hard time leaving my family because by that time I was a mom and a wife and it just felt different. So, I left actually just last December, you know, for good. So,
Well, again, thank you for your service. And
thank you.
What, again, another question I ask, guests who are, especially law enforcement, obviously, is, you know, what challenges? I mean, there's so many challenges out there, Amanda, you know, I mean, law enforcement's under, quote unquote, the gun, you know, under a microscope all the time when we should be. I mean, we got a tremendous amount of power, but, you know, there's a lot of challenges now that didn't, I mean, we always had challenges, but it seems like there's more challenges now than when I left and you probably left. What challenges do you think law enforcement, and I know it's a broad question, but what are some of the biggest you think the profession's going to face in the future?
That's a loaded question. I would say, you know, as far as, you know, as society in a whole, as far as law enforcement within society, we're really in some unprecedented times. Mm-hmm. I mean, we not only have some of the most influential people not supporting law enforcement, they're just out and out against law enforcement, speaking out against it. And what's kind of scary is that some of those people have their hands in our legislature. And, you know, when you start talking about getting rid of qualified immunity and things like that, it really makes things very uncertain. And that is going to become a major problem as far as recruitment, retention, and just overall morale in the culture. I mean, we already have enough stress. There's already enough to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you pile that on. It's just, it's scary. So I have faith, you know, that we can straighten it all out and get it all ironed out, but it's going to be a bumpy road.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, that, you know, the stress and, you know, you mentioned qualified immunity eroding that. I mean, that goes into the mental health. Everything ties back into mental health. Like we're, you know, you're talking about and, you know, the things that you suffer with, I suffer with. But I remember, you know, I'm older than you. I remember growing up and when the news came on, and maybe you remember this too, but when the news came on, I remember, you know, I'm showing my age, Walter Cronkite came on and he, you know, there's my age, right? So, you know, he would come on and the only thing he would do, Amanda, is just tell the news. That's it. Yeah. And then it was up to Amanda and Patrick and everybody else to decide what we wanted to believe in. Now, like you alluded to, you have, you know, media outlets, you have politicians that were generally, law enforcement has generally in years past, but generally been, you know, they've always been critical, but not openly critical, like you indicated. So that all ties back into some of the big problems. And I agree with you, like I said, 100%. And you mentioned recruitment and retaining. That's huge.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, we're already under a microscope. And then to really pick apart every little thing that is happening, of course, you know, cell phones and body cams, you know, we can sit back and analyze everything, and not every decision that law enforcement is going to make is going to be the right decision. Mm-mm. But we also have to understand the situations that we're put in and the microseconds that we have to make those decisions. And as far as, you know, having cell phones out all the time, and then you only see half of the clip, you know, the clip they want you to see, and that gets very frustrating. So it's, like I said, I think it's going to be a little bit of a bumpy road, but yeah. I'm hoping that with, you know, educating the public, I think that would be helpful to let people know what police officers really deal with. Go on a ride along.
Yeah.
Go see what they're doing, and then, you know, have an opinion after that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it starts with education. You know, well said. I mean, the majority of people, and you probably know this, Amanda, get what they know about law enforcement off TV and the movies. And that's not an accurate reflection of what, you know, we do or law enforcement does on a daily basis. And you might think of all the interactions, the daily interactions, hundreds of thousands of interactions all around the country that occur every day. And what percentage of that ends up in a use of force? You know,
right.
Very, very, very small percentages. But like you said, the media and other people, they don't report that. And it is what it is. But I agree with you. And I love your attitude where, and I have the same attitude where I have hope. I really do. You know, I really do believe that the pendulum will switch back or swing back at some point. And I also believe, and I talk about this a lot too, I still believe the vast majority of people in this country, Americans, do support our brave men and women who serve. I just wish, I say it all the time, I just wish they were more vocal about it.
I would agree with that. And I can't tell you how many people reach out privately and say, hey, thanks. I really appreciate what you do. Or did, you know, but they're scared to do it publicly. And I partially understand why, is because they just get blasted.
Yeah, but that's so sad that we live in that world.
It is.
Where we can't, you know, I mean, yeah.
Well, and I think part of it is there's just too many generalizations out there. And you know, when you start putting generalizations into your rhetoric, and I think it's just irresponsible and dangerous. You can't just lump everybody into a group. You know, there's so many different variables in different situations, and it can be really, really dangerous to do that. So,
and I agree. And that's where it comes with what you said. And I agree. I mean, it comes down to education. I mean, the more education we have, the more people like you and me and everybody else out there who is out there having these type of conversations, the more education is out there. I mean, we live in the greatest time, I think, as far as information and technology ever. You know, with what's available to us and the information is out there. So, and again, I understand people are going to listen to what they're going to tailor what they listen to them. I get that. But, you know, for the listener out there, and I know it's primarily law enforcement, the military, but I mean, just, you know, if you have questions about what law enforcement does, reach out to Amanda, reach out to me, educate yourself, get on Google. Google's free, folks. Google's free. Now, you don't believe everything.
I don't know about Google. Maybe DuckDuckGo. Try DuckDuckGo.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it comes down to education, like it always does, right? So
yeah, knowledge is power.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the wonderful things you are doing with Lifesaver Wellness. You do agency trainings, you do one-on-one coaching. Let's talk about that because it really is wonderful.
Well, thank you. So I just recently launched, and really the mission of Lifesaver Wellness is just to help first responders beat the burnout. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of a holistic approach to, you know, beating chronic stress and combating those physiological responses. So, you know, we do a lot of, I noticed in my career, we did a lot of training, you know, critical incident training and stuff like that for other people who are in crisis. We were taught how to deal with other people in crisis situations, but I don't remember a time in any of my training where we were taught to deal with our own crisis or crisis within our department or anything like that. So really, my focus is to bring mindfulness practices to first responders through agency trainings, where we can actually physically try out these practices, the breathing and the yoga meditations, activating the vagus nerve, all these different things, you know, the tapping and marma points, to teach first responders how to come down off of these adrenaline dumps, how to work with your parasympathetic nervous system to kind of regulate your body's responses mm-hmm. so that you're not constantly pumping out this cortisol and being under stress all the time. Because mm-hmm. when you get one of those big adrenaline dumps, that those chemicals are releasing in your body for up to an hour. And as you know, Pat, when you're, you know, especially law enforcement, in an hour's time, you could handle three more calls. Mm-hmm. And so you don't get that recovery time. So my goal with the agency trainings is really to educate officers and firefighters and dispatchers on how to combat that in the moment, and then how to combat it long term so that you're prepared when it happens. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, one-on-one coaching, I work with each individual first responder. I'm a certified life coach for first responders and went through Autumn Clifford's life coaching program. And I think it's really important for each individual to know how their own body responds yeah. and then work with that, because not everybody's the same.
Yeah.
So, and not only that, gosh, we carry so much around with us. It's not enough to just scratch the surface sometimes.
Yeah.
We really have to dig deep, do the inner work, do the shadow work, change up the mindset, and then we can be prepared for the surface stuff.
Yeah.
So those two things. And then coming up this summer, I actually am in development with a mobile app that is going to bring all these practices to the pockets and the hands of first responders.
That's awesome. I love it. And the one thing that I know you talk about, and you've actually dealt with personally, Amanda, is the work-life balance. I know you talk a lot about that. And mm-hmm. I was horrible with that. And I venture to say most first responders are. I mean, I got into a period, you know, for many years where I would just bring everything home with me. And I yeah. wish I had like a program like mm-hmm. yours at the time that taught me. And another thing I want to talk about for a minute, you know, is the mindfulness, you know, the mindfulness techniques. I wish I had something like that, you know, years ago, you know, when I was a young officer. And I love the fact that you incorporate mindfulness techniques and breathing and even yoga, because that's central to everything. I don't start my day off. And I know, I think we talked about this before we got on a previous call. I don't start my day unless I've gone through my gratitude practice, my mm-hmm. mindfulness practice, my journaling practice, of course, my workout, taking care of my body. So I'd love that you're incorporating all that, because that's so important.
Right. Well, and that falls into my my framework of, are you squared away? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you picture a square and you've got your four pillars, your four sides of the square. Mm-hmm. You've got family and friends, you've got fitness, you've got your finances and your future, and you have your focus. And you cannot have a square if all of those things are not balanced. If one thing is off, if one thing is lacking or suffering, it's not a square. Mm-hmm. So, you know, law enforcement, whatever we think of, are you squared away? Well, yeah, my shoes are polished, my pleats are good, I'm looking good. Well, how's your life? So really something to think about.
Yeah.
And you know, then I have my clients dive a little deeper and go through their serve process. And that's just your scan. And this is your process for introspection, you know, if you want to meditate or whatever you want to call it, but you scan the body yeah. for, you know, where your stress is, take a moment and observe, don't judge. Examine and be honest with yourself what you're feeling. Is there an explanation? Is it rational? And then replace those thoughts or feelings with something that's more productive. Yeah. So if you're procrastinating, all right, let's get motivated. If you're feeling like this sense of failure, let's work on your self-worth, and then verbalize it, because that just being able to say certain things out loud is huge. So many people, I feel like, can't even utter the words mental health. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, I agree.
And so we have to be able to talk about this stuff among each other. And it's scary and it's uncomfortable, especially in this culture. Mm-hmm. But when you start to talk about it, it makes it less scary. It makes it so that it's not so daunting.
Yeah. And I like what you said about, you know, it all starts with inner reflection. I call it doing a search warrant on yourself. You know, yeah, I mean, yeah,
exactly.
I mean, just doing a thorough search warrant on yourself. And I've been in that space many times where I really had to do some introspection and, you know, really no BS, no bullshitting. I mean, okay, this mm-hmm. is what, and don't be afraid to come forward, you know, because yes. the longest relationship you are ever going to have in your life, Amanda, and you probably know this, and maybe the listener does or doesn't, is the relationship with yourself.
Absolutely.
So if you don't have, if you can't be honest with yourself and you can't, no BS, and you know, realize that you need to talk about this and, you know, come out, you know, like you said, I love what you said about being squared away. I love that, you know, about all areas of your life. If you can't be honest with yourself, everything else is going to suffer. Look, if you're lacking, if you're half-assing it in one area, one side of the square, right? There's a pretty good chance that you're half-assing it in the whole square, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's really interesting is I think we've come to a point in first responder culture that people are like, hey, it's okay to reach out. But I really don't think that's enough. I think we have to be proactive in bringing this stuff to them and saying, hey, let's be honest with ourselves here. Even if you're not honest with your partner, even if you're not honest, I mean, not that you shouldn't be honest with your partner, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Even if you can't be open with other people, at least be open with yourself and don't judge yourself. Because I think that's part of it is you hear these murmurs of other people's voices and you judge yourself based on other things that you're hearing. And really it's just being kind to yourself.
Of course. And you know, we are programmed, most of us, to treat people better than we treat ourselves. You know, it's just 100%. How we are, you know, and I always tell people, and this is not mine, I've heard it many times before, is don't define yourself by your past. The past is the past. And so many people, you know, and I was there too, where I, you know, had a lot of guilt, you know, a lot of depression over stuff that happened in the past. You were not defined by your past, but I think a lot of people out there linger in the past and coulda, shoulda, woulda. Yeah.
They carry it around. You feel it and you can see it. And I think one of my favorite quotes, and I don't know if it's a true quote or just a saying, is just because you carry it well doesn't mean it isn't heavy.
Oh yeah. I love that. Yeah.
And it's so true because man, I thought in the depths of my depression, I thought, man, I'm good. Look at me out here doing all this stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it got too heavy.
Well, I mean, and then the good thing, kind of same with me, is you got to a point where you were like, okay, I could keep going down this path, like a lot of people do, or you had to make a change. And sometimes, you know, you have to make those hard decisions and make changes. Sometimes you have to step down in order to step back up. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, love it, Amanda. So if people want to reach out to you, how can they reach out to you and say, I want, because what you're doing is amazing. I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there doing, you know, stuff, but I really love the message. I really love how you're incorporating mindfulness and everything else into your program. So if people want to reach out to you, I mean, how do they do that, Amanda?
Well, thank you. So if you want to, you know, direct message me or get to me directly, it's akd@lifesaverwellness.com. But I am, you know, Lifesaver Wellness is on Facebook. We are on Instagram. You can find me on LinkedIn, Amanda DeZonte. Directly to the website, www.lifesaverwellness.com. You can direct message me from there. I'm all over the place, so I'm pretty easy to find.
Well, and everything will be linked up in the show notes for the listener. Amanda, we love you. Any last words? So if people out there are suffering, and I'm not talking about like they need a psychiatrist or they need, because that's a different story, and I'll put some links up in the show notes. But if people need some coaching, because again, you're doing great stuff. If people just want to, you know, if they're suffering from things right now, I mean, what advice would you give them?
Sure. Plain and simple, there is hope and recovery is possible.
Awesome. Short, sweet.
Recovery is possible. Yeah. I mean, it's so true. And, yeah. And I think some people just think that they can't even begin to crawl out of where they're at, and it is possible. I can promise you that.
Look, I talked to people, many guests on the show, Amanda, that have been anywhere from, I've talked to officers who are addicted to opioids, who were at the lowest point in their life that have recovered, came back. People in prison came back, made total transformation of their life. Anything is possible. And I love the message.
Absolutely. Anything's possible.
Amanda DeSante, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been an honor having you on. Any way we can help you here at the show, please let me know. And like I said, for the listener out there, reach out to Amanda. Everything will be out, linked up in the show notes. Amanda, good luck to you. If you need anything, reach out to me.
Thank you, Pat. It's been a privilege.
All right. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.